Okay, so it's time for part two of my review of the movie Threads. This is amongst the most well-researched film when it comes to the depiction of nuclear war. We're right at the scene where the bombs are about to drop. So let's see what sort of lessons and observations we can derive from this film.
As yet, we haven't located all the root vegetable clumps on local farms, but stocks of sugar, wheat, flour, and rice are quite good.
Attack warning.
Is it for real?
Attack warning's for bloody real.
Is it?
Right, get to your stations.
Come on, get yourself. Get that generator. Shut the doors.
As soon as you can, every single scrap of information you've got on casualties. I must have got this.
Down.
Look, we can't sell you any timber. You'll have to see bosses about it. It's a bloody joinery, not a timber yard.
In this scene, they're at a joinery and they're trying to buy timber. This is a very important scene because it depicts how people are going to be scrambling for building supplies anywhere they can get it. He distinctly tells them that this is not a lumber yard, so people are already being forced to go to these other places where you wouldn't expect to be able to buy these things in order to get like even little pieces of lumber, because they're trying to make makeshift fortifications and shelters in order to weather the coming storm. Very accurate depiction. Places like Rona, Home Depot, Home Hardware, all of those places are going to be wiped out when the bombs drop. Sandbags are also your friend when it comes to the end.
You can't just have a face like that. Go get a cheeky sign or something.
Now, there's air raid sirens going off. That's probably not going to be the case nowadays. Nowadays, your phone is likely going to send you an alert if you're lucky, and it's likely going to be some ominous emergency broadcast signal, which will be very reminiscent of the tests that you likely have already experienced on your phone. That's going to be crazy if and when that happens, because everybody's phones are going to go off at the same time and people are going to go nuts. So they retreat under a vehicle there. Is that the best thing to do in this situation? Well, you don't know if you got 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 seconds when these sirens go off. If you don't have a safe place to retreat to underground, they say that what you're supposed to do, if you expect that there's going to be a nuclear detonation, presuming you know the direction of the blast, you want to be lying face down and you want to have your head pointed in the opposite direction of the blast. This is so that your cranium and your vitals won't be directly exposed to the blast wave, and the blast wave will pass over you feet first and pass over your head in that direction. This obviously is not going to save you necessarily, but it might minimize the amount of damage and it might prevent you from being a fatality and just a casualty. Okay, so we've seen the police sirens on the cop car there. One thing that they fail to depict in this movie is all the police and military who likely would have already went AWOL from their positions. The first thing that the Russians do is they detonate a high-altitude nuclear warhead. This is what's called a HEMP, a high-altitude electromagnetic pulse. The purpose of this is to knock out all of the electronics within the line of sight. All of this very, you know, high voltage in the tens of thousands of volts is going to couple into all of the power lines and all of the outlets, and anything that is plugged in is going to get fried. And not only things that are plugged in, there's something called the E1 pulse, which will fry individual electronics, and that is why you need a Faraday cage if you're serious about keeping your electronics safe for a situation like this. This is also going to be where the fires start. Fire is going to be a massive problem after a nuclear war. They say that the fires are what will cause nuclear winter, if you believe that theory. All of these fires from these big explosions are going to catch the surrounding forested regions on fire, grass fires, city fires that are just going to be burning and burning, and there's going to be no way to put them all out. Massive damage to communications across Britain. This, of course, will be several orders of magnitude worse because we are far more technologically dependent and interconnected nowadays.
Please have gone. Everything's dead.
The reason why they do this first is to limit any sort of response teams from coordinating. So as you're going to see here, the government can no longer function and do anything because they've been completely cut off from communication.
Jenny!
Why didn't you pull the bloody aerial out?
Get the standbys working.
That. Come on.
As many people know, you never want to look at a nuclear detonation. It can cause blindness. Some people say that the depiction of this is a little bit exaggerated and you won't be permanently blind. But if you do see a nuke, you want to definitely close your eyes very quickly and not look at the blast.
Yeah.
They don't depict in this, but a lot of vehicles are not going to work when that EMP goes off, especially nowadays where there's a lot of electronics, okay? So he says there, come on, it's just the start of it. And something important to realize is that these cities aren't just going to get one nuke. There's going to be several nuclear weapons that fall on every major urban center. So indeed, that was a good move by him to...
Jesus Christ, the door.
So here his car won't start because the electrical circuitry is fried from the EMP. Now they've done tests that shown only about 5% of vehicles will actually be rendered inoperable and that many of those will actually be able to be fixed relatively easy. But if you think about 5%, consider that one accident on the freeway can back up traffic for miles during rush hour. Now imagine 5% of vehicles, 5 out of every 100 vehicles would be total gridlock.
This one's on finning last.
As far as I know, they have reporting stations all throughout the country. They had this in Canada as well. Radiation reporting stations, and they had alternate means of communicating, and they could of course relay that information back to the central hub, the government, so they could do their damage estimates and assessments. And that's where they're getting this information from.
Hang on, there's something on the airport, I think.
When they say 80 megatons fell on the UK, you're talking about 5,600 Hiroshima or Nagasaki equivalents. Now, because these are going to be more concentrated, you're not going to have as much distributed devastation. It's going to be more concentrated in certain places because, of course, they're using bigger warheads. You heard them say an airport was targeted, a power station. Primary target is going to be military bases and nuclear weapon stockpiles, but the secondary is going to be critical infrastructure. So they're saying that the blast casualties in the first salvo were 2.5 to 9 million. UK had about 56 million people in 1984. That means that about one in every 10 people, more or less, died in just the initial blast.
Ruth! Come down here and give us a hand.
Ruth, get hold of that with the torch now.
Ruth, come and help your grandmother.
Ruth, please.
Something else to consider that throughout this entire time, especially in that period of time, it would become increasingly more difficult to have those de-escalatory channels live because you're taking out your adversary's communications grid. If you wanted to have like a ceasefire timeout, it becomes increasingly more difficult to get that message across because all of the systems are being destroyed. So here we see the milk bottles that the milkman put on the step earlier. In the epicenter of a nuclear blast, it's going to reach around 1,000,000 degrees Celsius. And it's an inverse square law from that point. So after around 100 meters or so, or several hundred meters, it's going to go down to like a few thousand degrees Celsius. The severe damage zone, depending on the size of the nuclear weapon, is going to be within, you know, a few hundred meters to a few miles. In the moderate zone, you're going to see heavy structural damage to buildings. Indeed, the thermal pulse is still going to be a bit of a factor. There's going to be fires raging. And in the broader light damage zone, that's where you're going to have things like broken windows, just debris. And then beyond that is going to be the area of fallout, which is going to be contingent on which way the wind is blowing at the time. So 3 gigatons of nuclear material, 210 megatons on the UK, which is around 1,300 times the amount of nuclear material that fell on Japan. Nowadays, we actually don't have enough nuclear weapons that they would be able to allocate 210 megatons to the UK. Some people would say that's a good thing, but some people would actually say that that is part of the reason why there is less of a deterrent. At the peak of the Cold War, at the time this movie was made, there were around 70,000 nuclear weapons in existence. Today, there is probably 10,000, and a lot of those might not even be operational. So the extent of the devastation would likely not be as bad as depicted in this movie, which actually increases the likelihood that nuclear war could happen today. The more horrifying people feel that mutually assured destruction will be, the greater of a deterrent it is in it ever happening. This is why nuclear non-proliferation can actually somewhat backfire to an extent. This is when an old stone house would come in very handy. And there's a lot of that architecture in England. And it's light zone, just like that. Basically, they're saying here that because there's no real protection against the gamma effects of nuclear fallout, you're not going to get help in the first few days. Quite frankly, ever.
Take it easy. Don't bother me. Don't anybody help me. That's a girl. Well done. What up? You're running along now. Set the lights. Well done, Gordon. How long can you keep that going?
Give them 2 weeks. I'm okay.
First aid kit, quickly.
Okay, so they just kicked on the Jenny, and the guy said that we have 2 weeks of gasoline. Man, they got their work cut out for them.
We've lost County again, I think. Areas must have blown. You're on the roof.
Switch the lights up in the corridor when you get there. Can we raise any districts? Oh, what about radio amps? Can we improvise an aerial?
Oh, well, we'll try.
How is he?
I can't find this first aid kit.
Forget the first aid kit. Bring me something to cover him up with.
So these people were right in the thick of the thermal pulse, and it looks like they were burned pretty seriously, and they likely got a blast of prompt radiation as well. So this woman here is holding her glasses, okay? And this is something that a lot of preppers are concerned about. If you rely on glasses to see, you're going to want a backup pair. You're going to want backup contact lenses. You're going to want to have things called the AD lens. They're an adjustable lens. Have some backup. Because if those glasses break, you're screwed.
Stocksbridge Police. What about rescue?
Any idea of casualties?
Is there anything you can do? Over.
Give me another bin liner.
What is your radiac reading?
What about the depot there?
I repeat, what is your radiac reading?
So what is your radiac reading in reference to they're all carrying around Geiger counters or scintillators to determine, you know, how much radiation is. And of course, they can't be out for long exposed, otherwise they're going to die.
100. It's too high. You've got to get your men undercover.
Can you get us through?
To the county central headquarters.
When
over.
Was that last drawing, I guess then.
Can you patch us through?
Hello?
Over. Stockbridge, are you receiving
the fire station?
Over.
Well,
I agree, I think.
Have you heard anything from them?
Look, never mind about that. Ask you casual.
It's so visceral, like the way they capture the panic in people's voices and just how frantic the scene is it's unlike I've ever seen in any one of these movie depictions of a nuclear
They've lost them.
What about Hillsborough? Some Stocksbridge?
Not too bad. Windows blown in and structural damage, but
windows blown in that far out?
Ask him where that last one was.
Jesus Christ!
Ask him where that last one was.
Switch that thing off, will you, Gordon?
The first fallout dust settles on Sheffield. It's an hour and 25 minutes after the attack. An explosion on the ground at Crewe has sucked up this debris and made it radioactive. The wind has blown it here.
It's an important thing to note that fallout is more of an issue with ground burst detonations, and they do a ground burst detonation if they want to penetrate deeper or do a more focused, targeted destruction of a smaller area. But if they want a broader area to be destroyed and they're trying to kill a lot of human beings, then that's when they're going to do an airburst.
This level of attack has broken most of the windows in Britain. Many roofs are open to the sky. Some of the lethal dust gets in. In these early stages, the symptoms of radiation sickness and the symptoms of panic are identical.
You know, releasing your bowels, vomiting. It's difficult to say if it's radiation sickness yet. There are certain medications like potassium iodide and acute radiation sickness medication that you can use to mitigate this problem. but it's not going to be a total prophylactic.
Are you all right, Ruth? Ruth?
I couldn't help Ruth. It.
What?
Just keep on.
Oh, right.
Don't worry about it, love. It's not your fault. We've all got it.
I know, but I'm so ashamed.
So right now, the whole place is just cooking in radiation.
We haven't heard from County HQ for 2 days. Well, who the hell else have you...
So you see that air coming through the vent, that's going to be contaminated air, unless they have an air filtration system, which I highly doubt they did, because they don't seem to be very well prepared.
You tried. We'll send another motorcycle.
There are no roads left.
All the people here will be dead already. It's completely flattened. Round here, 50% will still be alive, but here, they're as good as dead already. They've probably received a lethal dose.
There's no way of getting anything Look, out.
According to the release,
listen. Yeah. Yes, I'll pass the message on.
No bloody roads at all.
So this is another very important thing to keep in mind. After something like this, all the roads are gone. And so the first thing you have to do is rebuild civilization literally from the ground up and rebuild the roads that you can use to access and start reconstructing.
Some list of vehicles.
Listen,
I need a gun wagon.
Hey, I've got a message from Riverland Valley Police. They've managed to get through to Beat Chief Works Depot.
Oh,
they've got some vehicles on the road, but they're nearly out of fuel.
Well, what the bloody hell have they been doing with it all?
They didn't tell me. They just said they want to know whether they can get some more, and they've got no food.
Oh, God.
Any chance of getting through to county?
Look, I've got...
Just let me get on with it, okay?
So, food, fuel, access basically turns this into a giant cluster. I love how this movie depicts the mania of the people who are trying to work things out. Just people shouting over top of each other. You can't quite hear what's being made out. But all of those little conversations are meaningful and on point in terms of it's not just random chatter. What they're saying is relevant to the scenario. So here we go. Food stocks, whatever remain, are going to be controlled by the central government, which is why you're a prepper. So this guy here is obviously patrolling a place that is storing food, and he has a Geiger counter. So you can have a certain amount of exposure to radiation, then you got to go to a safe place. So they're probably doing this in shifts. See, a lot of the stone structures are still standing. Interesting that they show toilet paper here and they show a bucket full of crap. Yeah, that's going to be a luxury that's going to run out very quickly.
Here you are, Mother. Something to eat for you. Better leave her, the rest will do her good.
Well, at least it won't go cold. Ruth, love, come on, love, you'll have to eat something, but you'll have to, love, it's not just you know, the baby needs some food as well, come on.
I don't care about this baby anymore.
Oh, Ruth.
I wish it was dead.
Don't say things like that,
there's love. There's no point with Jimmy dead.
But you don't know
Jimmy. He is, I know he is. Oh, we're breathing in all this radiation all the time, my baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby, I've been deformed.
It really depicts the anguish of knowing that you're going to have to bring a new life into the world, and it's going to be this world that you're bringing it into. And there's a good chance that there's going to be birth defects now because of the radiation. And you very well could die during childbirth.
Oh, no. I don't listen to you, Jimmy.
haven't gone. Listen. I'm Michael.
We don't know that. They might be safe somewhere.
Oh, I wish I were dead. I wish it were me.
I wish I could swap places with them.
Right, let's go.
So I think that's important, what they just depicted there. They showed two people saying, I wish we were dead. I wish we could trade places with the dead. There's going to be a crisis of self-deletion. I like how the movie calls attention to the fact that a lot of people aren't going to want to survive depending on their situations, depending on how much they've been impacted by this. They say that most people can't handle more than three major life crises at once. That usually can consist of losing your possessions, losing a loved one, and having health problems. In a situation like this, all three of those boxes get checked and some. So you're going to have a lot of people who just don't want to live.
How far does this go back?
The bloody four floors have come down on this lot. It could go back for yards and yards.
So that part of the movie just highlights the fact that many people are going to be buried under rubble and entombed under rubble. Many will still be alive. There's going to be a lot of bodies exhumed from the rubble in the weeks and months following an event like this.
Try again, Gordon. Still nothing coming through. It must be blocked further up.
How much stuff do you think's on top of us?
Most of town hall, I should think.
Well, when will you be able to get to us?
Can't get lifting gear. Through.
What about the army? What about the military?
The road is just
we've not heard from camp
yet. If you don't release some food soon, we'll never get things under.
You see how they depict there that the guy is out of cigarettes? This is why you quit smoking. The last thing you want to deal with is kicking an addiction during a crisis like this.
It's bloody awful.
I've got starving mobs in Shadow, Ecclesfield, Bromfield.
Look, it's not our decision anyway. It's up to Zorn to authorise release of buffer stocks, and then it becomes a counter decision.
We can't get through to county.
What are we going to do? Let them starve?
Look, even if we did have the authority...
Well, we're on our own. You've got the authority, but bloody time you did something with it.
Look, what's the point of wasting food on people who are going to die anyway?
I agree with Clark.
So this is where the government starts to convince itself that they're more important than everybody else. From an objectivist point of view, they may actually have a point here, because you're the only body of people who are organized and capable of rebuilding society, then, you know, there's an argument to be made that you should be entitled to the food, as unjust as that might seem to all of the rest of us. These are the debates that they're going to be having in the government.
The food stocks are not going to last long. A lot of people just didn't stock up.
How could they? The bloody shops were empty.
And now they're coming out of the shelters. I know it sounds callous, but I think we should hang on to the little food we've got.
And I need that food to force people to work.
You see what she said there? She said we need that food to force people to work. So people will be paid with food, going back to the barter system where you trade your human resource for sustenance.
I'm coming with you, Shuffle, not your bloody wife, you know.
You never got a fag.
They've had 200
rats of these.
You have got
to say
something. He said, could I get a fag? They used to call them that back in the day. Cigarettes.
Look! I don't care how much trouble they're causing, we're not sending our men in there with radiation as high as that. Look, I know that. But what's the point? They're all going to die on that patch anyway.
Bill, just get...
Some hard decisions are going to have to be made during those periods of times. And it's going to seem callous and indifferent, but this is when you're really going to need somebody in charge who is able to do math. You can't have people exhausting very precious resources on hopeless emotional appeals. if you're the government, you got to be using your head about you, even though you hadn't up until that point.
Get me a drink, please. A drink.
I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can find it.
I won't be long.
No more water pressure. Oh, there's a little bit. Water pressure will be non-existent at this point. This is why they advise people to fill up anything you can when a crisis happens, because without electricity, the water pressure goes to zero very quickly. Especially the more water that you use.
Just a minute.
People are starting to emerge because it's safe enough on the outside.
Just a minute. Oh, God. Oh, look at you.
Just a minute.
Can you manage that?
So getting rid of bodies is actually a topic that not a lot of people want to think about. Bodies, especially covered in excrement, is going to be a challenge to deal with. And you want to get that away from people because, of course, it can make you sick.
All right, put it down here a minute. Put it down again. Give us one of the blankets.
So Ruth has just basically abandoned her family. She just left. I guess she thinks that they're going to slow her down, and she's probably right.
Come on, down you go. Careful.
At 10 days, if Ruth is out there walking around, the fallout might not be that bad. They say after a couple weeks, most of it is gone. So they're saying don't go out of the fallout shelter for more than 2 hours a day so you don't get a lethal dose or get sick. Now the temperature is also going to have significantly dropped because the sunlight is going to be blocked out because of all the dust and ash in the air. That's why everybody's, you know, swaddled in a blanket because it's really cool outside. Contrast there where you had the man playing with little toys as if he'd become infantilized and almost retreating to the fetal position mentally, and the kid was out, not necessarily acting like an adult, but he was out and about, not being a kid. You know, that's kind of showing, I guess, that the old generation is not long for this world. And this is how it would be.
is it?
2:30.
They still have batteries.
Night or day?
Night, I think.
Because they've been underground so long and there's no point of reference, there's no cue, there's nothing to relate to, they've lost their sense of time. And they've done underground experiments to show that this will happen actually quite quickly.
I'm not sure. I'm losing track. I'm not sure whether it's night or day anymore.
Here we have an intruder in the house, and it's right around that period of time where people are going to start walking around and looting and stealing. Security becomes a big issue.
Hanging in the atmosphere, the clouds of debris shut out the sun's heat and light. Across large areas of the northern hemisphere, it starts to get dark. It starts to get cold. In the centers of large land masses like America or Russia, the temperature drop may be severe, as much as 25 degrees centigrade. Even in Britain, within days of the attack, it could fall to freezing or below for long, dark periods.
This is why you need to stock up on firewood, folks. So they're going to use riot control agents, so this is another reason why you need a gas mask if you plan on looting government aid centers. Of course, you're a prepper, so you won't do that.
Entire peacetime resources of the British Health Service, even if they survived, would be unable to cope with the effects of even the single bomb that's hit Sheffield.
The entire peacetime resources of the entire country could not deal with one bomb that fell on Sheffield. They had 210 megatons. That's the surge capacity of hospitals. And most of these hospitals will have no light, and it's going to be dark. So you're going to have, you know, a bunch of people in dark hallways and windows blowing out, and it's just going to be absolute chaos. Most hospitals have backup diesel generators that can run for a couple weeks. Going to a hospital at this time is just pointless.
Oh,
One thing that maybe doesn't get enough attention in these movies is healthcare workers and how many are actually going to abide by their Hippocratic oath and stay the course and maintain their position. I think a lot of them are going to go AWOL as well. A lot of people just aren't going to show up for work like they didn't during the pandemic.
By this time, without drugs, water, or bandages, without electricity or medical support facilities, there is virtually no way a doctor can exercise his skill. As a source of help or comfort, he's little better equipped than the nearest survivor.
We've no choice, as far as I can see.
Can't we get any food from outside?
Where from? We've told Candy and everybody's in the same boat, aren't they?
What about the broiler?
Trouble is, we can't contact Rockley or Ayersbrook, God knows what.
By the looks of some of these guys, they don't need to be eating any food anytime soon. They're good for at least a few months.
What's happened there?
Probably been raided.
What do you think, Doctor?
We'll have to cut their rations. I've worked it out there. 1,000 calories for manual workers and 500 for the rest.
500? 500? That wouldn't keep a flea alive.
Should we be bothering to keep anybody alive if they can't work?
A lot of people are going to die anyway. It's back to survival of the fittest, I suppose.
Survival of the fittest. That guy is like 350 pounds. But hopefully he's got a good head on his shoulders to make up for it.
What is that in terms of food then, 500 calories?
Takes 2,000 calories a day just to maintain your body weight in the best of times if you're the average person. A person working out in the fields, 3, 4, 5,000 calories a day would be needed. They're allotting 1,000 calories a day. Basically, you're going to work yourself to death.
I don't know. A few slices of bread, some soup, lamb chop, treacle tart, a few pints of beer.
Look, you must have an empty factory somewhere.
No, you look! I've got thousands of homeless bloody people up there walking around, and I've got enough on with them without being worried about bloody criminals.
Well, you're going to have to find somewhere to put them, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. Look, shoot the buggers. I don't care.
So they're talking about the prisoners. Now, what are you going to do with the prisoners? This guy is like, you got to find a place for them. This guy's like, hey, they're criminals. Let's just put one in their head, because they're not going to be useful to us. And I have a sneaking suspicion that that's probably what's going to happen. Many of those people in a situation like this will be left in their cells to die.
Oh, Christ, Steve. This should have been sorted out days ago, yeah.
What about the rest centres? Can we not tell them to make their way there?
No, there'd be no point. Look, they'd be overrun anyway.
Certainly not.
What about tents?
I don't care.
Any tents we could use?
What? Tents? How the hell should I know? Look, if you want to know about tents, go and phone the bloody Boy Scouts.
Oh, piss off, will you? You're not the only one under pressure.
I bloody know.
You sort it. The last 2 weeks. And what the hell are you doing about digging us out? That's what I'd like to know.
So in addition to all that the survivors have had to deal with, now they're going to have to deal with disease from rats eating all the bodies. Yikes. Cholera, dysentery, typhoid. So these wild animals are going to be walking around eating dead bodies. That's cats, rats, dogs. Wild dogs are going to be a problem. Especially if they get the taste of human flesh, then they're going to think that they can eat it.
Yeah, what a stink. Let's get out of here. I'm going to puke.
These guys clearly just went and looted that place where those people have died downstairs. So this is how it's going to be, man. Looters are going to get sniped.
Number one, go in and search the house. Up against the wall. Do we know the penalty for looting?
I ain't looting.
Quiet.
Searching empty houses.
Shut up.
What choice have we got?
We were hungry.
What else can we do, eh? We're starving.
Two bodies in the cellar, sir. Man and a woman. Not been dead long. Man's had his head battered in.
Who like that woman?
What? What's it? We're in. Ow. We ain't done nothing.
Number two. We got the selling gun.
So the military is still trying to maintain some level of rule of law, but I don't think they're going to be able to do this. You got to understand, I mean, at this time, Britain had a much larger military. Maybe they could pull something like this off in small controlled areas, but you're talking right now, the UK military as a whole with 80 million people only has about 100,000 troops. Most of those guys are going to be dead or gone AWOL. So you're talking about one guy with a rifle to police however many thousands of screaming, hungry people. It's not going to happen. If anything, these guys themselves are a gang, and you can see this soldier goes and grabs the bag of stuff.
We're only after a bit of food.
Check the house and search the body.
Bag of crisps.
These guys are just looting the looters.
What flavor are they?
Well, doctor.
They fucking would be. I hate them. Come on.
So that's basically what happened there. They don't even likely work for the government. They're just working for themselves. Maybe that's how they're getting paid. They're allowed to just basically rob people that are robbing others in order to subsist.
All able-bodied citizens, men, women, and children should report for reconstruction duties commencing 0800 hours tomorrow morning. The inhabitants of Release Band F, that is Dore and Totley, Abbeydale and Woodseats, should rendezvous in Abbeydale Park. Release Band B, that is Netherend...
Money has had no meaning since the attack. The only...
So they said that all citizens must report for reconstruction duty. So that means that if the guys with the guns see you and you're not doing what they want, you'll be punished. Even if you're probably self-subsisting, because of course anything you have the government is going to try to expropriate. The only solution here for a prepper is to live far, far away from any form of government.
Viable currency is food, given as reward for work or withheld as punishment. In the grim economics of the aftermath, there are two harsh realities. The survivor who can work gets more food than one who can't, and the more who die, the more food is left for the rest.
I could murder a fag here. I used to love a fag after a meal.
You got all to swap.
I've got some scotch.
Might as well get drunk. So what they were trying to show there was a barter, right? So one guy traded him a smoke for some scotch. So here they're trying to depict people burning the remnants of the old world to stay warm. So all fuel is starting to run out, it seems. And without oil and oil refinement... biodiesel. Maybe you could make biodiesel, but wasteful of manpower to dig bodies, so they just let the bodies rot out in the open. That's something people don't really think about, right? Like how many just dead bodies would be around. Like all of those 10 to 20 million bodies will feed all the pests and the rats and the wild dogs and the cats.
Oh! Detention camps are improvised to cope with looters. Their numbers are growing.
I don't think there'd be detention camps in this situation. They're not going to have the resources for that. So they finally made their way to the guys who were in the government bunker, and it looks like they're all dead. Rufus, come back home. Where else is there to go, right? Capital punishment for any criminal. And the thing is, they probably won't even have the bullets to waste for that, so they're going to have to do it with a knife or something.
Growing exodus from cities in search of food. It's July.
So this is when the people in the countryside are going to have to deal with the millions of refugees, survivors, who are desperate and will do anything for food.
The countryside is cold and full of unknown radiation hazards. By now, 5 to 6 weeks after the attack, deaths from the effects of fallout are approaching their peak.
So silent. Government is still trying to throw their weight around from an airplane, by the sounds of things, and I think this is quite accurate.
George Langley.
And what do you want?
You've been designated for temporary residence.
I'm having no strangers coming to live here.
Look, you've no choice in the matter.
So the government has designated this guy's home as a temporary residence for all of these people. Once again, when the government decides to enact all of these war measures, you will have absolutely no property rights whatsoever.
Under the new emergency regulations.
I don't care what it is. This is my house and I'm having no strangers in it.
Look, according to my records, you've got four spare rooms. Kitchen, bathroom.
Stopping spare and all. They can't just come here and walk into people's houses. It's not right.
Look, we're not here to argue the rights and wrongs of the matter.
Besides,
right?
It's bloody dangerous. They might bring all sorts of diseases with them.
Come on.
He's right. They very well could bring all kinds of crazy diseases with them. He could die. The government doesn't give a shit.
Get out, will you? The whole lot of you. Gone.
No, but I just said no.
Don't go.
So the guy clearly had a firearm, and he told them people to kick rocks.
Go!
So radiation has killed all of the livestock.
Is it safe to eat?
I don't know. How can you tell? It's got a thick coat. That should have protected it.
Yeah, you breathe it in there, don't you?
Should be all right.
In the immediate aftermath, if this animal were to die of nuclear fallout, those isotopes would still be highly radioactive. This has now been 6 weeks into the event, and there's a possibility that it is no longer as radioactive, but then again, will the meat be any good? The meat will likely have spoiled. If anything, they could use that wool coat.
Sheep don't die of cold. It must be radiation.
You'd be able to taste it if it were contaminated.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, we've no choice, have we? Unless we want to starve to death.
At least cook the meat. If there's plenty of stuff to burn around there.
I'll take some with me.
Where?
City.
There's nothing there.
People think that they wouldn't be able to do this because it's gross to have uncooked food with no salt. But I think in this type of situation where you're starving, that will probably be the best tasting thing at that moment in time. You're not thinking about taste. You're just thinking about sustenance.
North. Dales.
That's why cannibalism is so scary. ...75% of the population is dead.
If we are to survive these difficult early months and establish firm base for the redevelopment of our country, then we must concentrate all our energies on agricultural production.
The other thing to keep in mind in this scenario is that it's very likely that the war would still be on. So you could still have the potential for more nuclear strikes months afterwards. As unlikely as it might be at this point, it's pretty much Mad Max now, but technically Russia and the East and West are still at war. So again, that attack in spring meant that there wasn't anything planted. Nothing's growing in the soil.
Collecting this diminished first harvest is now literally a matter of life and death.
they still somehow were able to grow some food. I think you very likely would have a lot of species going extinct as well.
Chronic fuel shortages mean that this could be one of the last times tractors and combine harvesters are used in Britain.
So that's interesting, and there's not many horses around, so that means that everything is going to have to be done by hand for many, many years to come. So malnourished, fetus exposed to radiation, cold, desperate, and now has to give birth without any painkillers, without any doctor. That's a hellish life. Why am I watching this on a Friday? This is a Monday. As bad as this would be, this would actually probably motivate a person and give them some kind of sense of hope. Even the haunting screams of that infant sound different in this environment. It's like it can sense what's going on. So they still have diesel and jet fuel for their helicopters. Process these wheat husks. Now, because all of those rats fed on all those humans, now they're going to start eating the rats because there's rats everywhere. I guess it only makes sense. Some rays of sunshine. Have enough food to survive the first year, guys. Okay. Shit. No pesticides. Wow. Population reaches minimum. Like Ruth is about to kick the bucket.
Ruth. Ruth. Work. Work. Work.
So these kids wouldn't really have like much of an education. And it's interesting that she calls her Ruth and not Mum. I wonder if that was intentional so that she doesn't develop.
Oh.
So Ruth has some pretty nasty visual problems as a result of the ultraviolet light. So here we see that after 10 years, there's some semblance of the old world in that they're still trying to leverage technology to teach children English.
Words and pictures. Skeletons and skulls of different creatures. We borrowed them from the museum. Did you...
No surprise that they're talking about skeletons and skulls, as that's primarily what's left littered in the landscape. And these children will probably never see any of these animals because they're all skeletons.
You recognize what some of those skeletons were? There was the skeleton of a cat. A cat's skeleton. The skeleton of a chicken. A chicken's skeleton. The skeleton of a bird. A bird's skeleton.
I hate my life after watching this show. So it looks like they're disassembling old textiles and they're using the thread to make new stuff. That's interesting. So it looks like they have steam engines coming back for farm equipment here.
Come on, get in there.
Come on.
It almost sounded like they were speaking a different language. I'm not sure if that was like a thick accent. Is it like a feral language or something that has developed now that the survivors are speaking?
Come back here with that! Hey, no! Come back! Come back!
Come on.
Yeah, so he can't speak English. There's some like speech pathology there. Which is likely probably pretty accurate. Sounds like he's R-word. My weekend's ruined. Number one, we have to encourage our governments not to fight a nuclear war. And number two, we have to make excessive amounts of preparation if we're really concerned about this. That is why you go and you watch all of our other videos that tell you how to prepare and what it's going to be like. This far and away, this masterpiece of a film is the most technical, empirical breakdown of how it's going to unfold from front to back. I don't think you could make a movie today that would be so jam-packed with insights and accurate depictions of what things are going to be like, because nowadays people's attention spans won't allow for something like this. There's another movie that you might want to look at. It's called The Day After. Slightly better production, but in my personal opinion, not nearly as detailed. But those two movies, and I might review that one next, will give us a good insight in terms of what it's going to be like. And this movie is fairly timeless, I would say, in terms of its predictions. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. And if you want to see more of my movie reviews, go through the links in the description below. Canadian Prepper out.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.